Well, last week we left Joseph in prison, and he was slandered, and he got thrown in prison. And we left him there in chapter 39, and then we come here to chapter 40 and see how he reacts to that and what happens to him there in prison. And originally I was going to look at both chapters tonight. I think we'll just focus on chapter 40. And so I'm going to read that here. Genesis chapter 40, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man in his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning, and they looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sad today? And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph, and said unto him, In my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me, when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket there was of all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, This is the interpretation thereof. The 3 baskets are 3 days, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. And it came to pass the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants, and he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Then we see verse 1 of chapter 41, and it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by a river. I titled this message, God Shall Give an Answer, and that title comes actually from a phrase in chapter 41 where Joseph is standing before Pharaoh, and that's his conviction about God. When Joseph hears Pharaoh's dream, he tells Pharaoh, God shall give an answer. And I think we'll just focus on chapter 40 tonight, but I think that title applies to chapter 40 as well. We see Joseph's conviction. When Joseph appeared before Pharaoh, I think we see his conviction in what he said to Pharaoh. He was confident that God had something to say to Pharaoh. God shall give an answer to you. God has something to say, and God is working. And that's Joseph's conviction about God. Even while he's here in prison, he is confident in God. He has a strong conviction. And that is true at all times in Joseph's life. Remember last week we looked at how the Lord was with Joseph in chapter 39. And Joseph is sold into slavery, and it says in chapter 39, the Lord was with Joseph and brought him to Potiphar's house, and he prospers there. And then we get to the end of chapter 39, and Joseph is slandered, and he's thrown into prison. But notice verse 21 of chapter 39 again. Verse 20. Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. So we see that God had not changed. God was with Joseph even when he was prospering in Potiphar's house. And then he goes into prison and nothing changed. His circumstance changed, but God was still with Joseph. And Joseph has that conviction even while he's in prison. And I want you to see the results of that in Joseph's life. And I want to point out four results of Joseph's conviction here in this passage. But we learn about the butler and the baker of Pharaoh at the beginning here. And, you know, to us, those sound kind of like low-level positions, the butler and the baker. I picture a baker slaving away in the kitchen somewhere and, you know, doesn't have much contact with the king. And the butler, you know, maybe some sort of servant. But the butler had very close contact with the king. We learned that the butler was a cupbearer, and he had the responsibility of making sure that what the king drank was good, was free from poison, and he was right there with the king. You remember the story of Nehemiah, and Nehemiah was also in that same position in another country, but you know, Nehemiah had very close contact with the king, and the king is asking Nehemiah why he's so sad, and he's right there in the king's presence, and I think the text even says that these positions were officers in the king's court. I mean, these were very high positions. But we see that they were not above offending Pharaoh. And that's what happened. They offended Pharaoh some way. We don't know how they offended him. Maybe, you know, the king drank something that wasn't very good. Or the baker made some bread and, you know, it didn't rise the way it was supposed to. It was flat, and he gave it to the king. The king got mad, maybe. I don't know. But for whatever reason, they offended the king, and they're put into prison here. And I liked what Matthew Henry said about that. He says this, "High places are slippery places, nothing more uncertain than the favor of princes. Those that make God's favor their happiness, in his service their business, will find him a better master than Pharaoh was, and not so extreme to mark what they do amiss." And that's just kind of a side note, but high places are slippery places sometimes. And I think about all the news about the campaigns and the elections, and from time to time you hear about somebody who's very high up in a candidate's campaign, and they do something, and they're fired, you know. Doesn't matter that they work closely with the candidate. He can say, you know, you're fired. And maybe one particular one would say that especially. But Pharaoh said, you know, you're fired. Get out of here. To the butler and the baker. And so the captain of the guard puts these people under the care of Joseph. Notice verse 4. The captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. And they continued a season in the ward. So the captain of the guard, some people think that that was Potiphar, Joseph's old boss. And that is how he's described in chapter 39. So maybe it was. We don't know for sure. Maybe Potiphar knows, okay, we got to do something with these people that Pharaoh just fired. What am I going to do? Joseph, I know he'll take good care of them. And so he puts them under the care of Joseph. And it says that he served them. He served them. It's interesting that that word serve is actually used for the service of the Levites. the service of Aaron and the Levites and of the priests, of the Old Testament system of worship. And I don't think necessarily that's what Joseph was doing to these men in some way, but perhaps it's an indication that this is how Joseph viewed his work, even in the prison. The work that Joseph is doing is service. It's an act of worship to God. And we know that that's true, even about our work, our service that we would do, you know, in our workplace or whatever we do. We do it as unto the Lord. It's an act of worship to Him. But the fact that he was in prison did not make a difference in his work ethic, in his diligence. So we see this, and we see the result of Joseph's conviction in his life, his conviction that God is there with him, that his circumstances may have changed, but God hasn't changed. And so what does that do in Joseph's life? It makes him a trustworthy servant. The conviction that God is with him, that his hope is in God, it affects the way that he works, the way that he conducts himself. It makes him a trustworthy servant. And so we see the first result there is that he's a trustworthy servant. He's a diligent servant. And people are not afraid to put very high-ranking officials under his care in the prison, the butler and the baker. Joseph is the one that takes care of them. Then we read on here about Joseph's actions. We see another result of his conviction about God. We see that they have these dreams, and verse 6, Joseph came in to them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked them, verse 7, wherefore look ye so sad today? They said, we have dreamed a dream, there is no interpreter of it. Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. So we see Joseph's concern for his fellow prisoners. They're sad for some reason. Joseph is noticing that. You know, Joseph is somebody here who is noticing the little things about people. Their countenance. They look sad. Okay, why are you looking sad? He's taking a personal interest in them. And then we see that he cares enough about them to communicate to them about God. He says, do not interpretations belong to God? You know, Joseph could have heard they dreamed a dream, and he could have said, oh, don't worry about it. It's just a dream. I mean, you know, I had a dream. I remember when I was 17 years old, you know, Joseph had a dream too. He had a couple dreams about how he would be promoted in advance. And, you know, look where he is now. Doesn't mean anything. Joseph could have been very cynical about it. But Joseph knew that, especially at this particular period in Bible history, God spoke through dreams. And so Joseph is sensitive to that. Joseph directs people to God. And we see that a second result of his conviction about God is that it makes him a caring companion. First of all, a trustworthy servant in the prison. But we see that, secondly, it makes him a caring companion. He cares enough about people to ask them how they're doing, to encourage them to think about God. God speaks in this way, and God can interpret this for you. So there Joseph was in the prison. You know, I can't imagine the discouragement that Joseph could have had in his life, and I'm sure that he did have. But we don't see Joseph being discouraged. Perhaps he was. We see Joseph taking the opportunities that he had to serve wherever he was, and perhaps that's how he avoided his discouragement. He tried to occupy himself with serving other people instead of just being, you know, wallowing in his own self-pity. Why am I here? Instead of doing that, he's trying to look around. He's trying to see what the needs of other people are. I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul in Philippians. You know, Paul was another man who had some experience in prison. And in Philippians chapter 1, he's sitting there in prison, and he writes about that in Philippians 1:12. But I would that ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Paul saw something that was positive in his imprisonment. He wasn't just sitting there wallowing in his self-pity. He was recognizing that God had him there. And in fact, in his imprisonment, God was actually doing something greater than probably he would have done outside of prison. The gospel was being spread to the palace, maybe through the guards he was chained to that were serving him. There was something better that was happening, and Paul rejoices in that. And Joseph, I think we see that same attitude as well. So we read on here that first of all, the butler tells about his dream. And he has this dream about the vine that comes out. It has three branches, and there's blossoms, and then there's fruit that comes out, and he's pressing the fruit into Pharaoh's cup and giving it to Pharaoh. What does that mean, Joseph? Well, Joseph, with God's help, interprets this dream and tells him that in 3 days he'll be restored to his position. Then he makes this request, verses 14 and 15. Think on me when it shall be well with thee. Show kindness, I pray thee, unto me. Well, after the baker hears that, he says, wow, I wonder what my dream means. This is great. I'm going to get out. And so he asks Joseph, what's my dream mean? Joseph tells him. He has this dream with three baskets on his head, and there's birds that are coming and eating the bread out of the basket. What does that mean, Joseph? I don't know if I want to tell you that. That one's not as good. But is that what Joseph does? No, he says, here's what it means. This is what God has revealed to me about your dream. In 3 days, Pharaoh's going to cut off your head. Here I think we see another result of Joseph's conviction about God and God's presence in his life. We see him as a trustworthy servant, a caring companion. But here we see Joseph as a faithful messenger. Joseph is a faithful messenger of God. And a faithful messenger has to deliver the message, whether it's good or bad. And Joseph has some good news for the butler, but there's some bad news for the baker. And Joseph doesn't shrink back from sharing the bad news. He tells everything that God would have him to tell. He's a faithful messenger. I think there's a parallel there, perhaps, to our own responsibility to share the message that we have from God. We have a lot of good news to share with people. We can tell people that their sins will be forgiven, that if they'll just put their faith in Christ, God will give them a righteous standing before the Lord. They'll go to heaven. It's a wonderful news. It's all for free. But there is some bad news. And that's the reality about our sin. And we have to acknowledge that. We have to repent of our sin. And we can't go on calling our sin good when it's actually wrong and God says it's wrong. And we have that message. We have to be a faithful messenger and proclaim the good and the bad news. And we see Joseph's conviction leads him to be a faithful messenger before the Lord. Well, we see that the interpretations are fulfilled. Verse 20, came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants. That was nice. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler, of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief butler unto his butlership again. He gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. So Joseph's interpretation was correct. It was fulfilled. But then we see the disappointing result in verse 23. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. The butler forgot. Joseph had specifically asked him, remember me when you're restored. I was put in here and I'm not guilty. And please remember me. And then we see that he forgot all about him. And then verse 1 of chapter 41 tells us how much time went past. Came to pass at the end of 2 years that Pharaoh dreamed. And then we know that it's Pharaoh's dream that causes Joseph to be led out of prison. But 2 years, 2 years went by. A number of years ago, my grandparents, my mom was trying to encourage my grandparents to get a microwave. This has been quite some time ago, but she was convinced that they needed a microwave. And they didn't see that they really needed one at that time. And so she found one at a garage sale and she gave it to them. Listen, you need a microwave. All right. And why is that? And we live with microwaves, you know, that's an important part of our existence anyway, at least ours. But what's the benefit of a microwave? You can cook things really fast. You can put some hot water in there and put 30, 45 seconds on there, boom, it's hot. And cook a baked potato in there, a couple minutes, it's done. You don't have to wait all that time. And, you know, we see here Joseph in prison. He's got to wait 2 more years. 2 long years. I'm reminded of Moses. It took a long time before God was ready to use Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Remember how long Moses was watching sheep in the desert? 40 years. 40 years in the desert. Our tendency is to think that we need things right now. But God does not use the microwave oven for Joseph. He's got him on a more of a slow bake, and he's not quite ready to get him out yet. And Joseph has to be patient. Joseph has to be patient. Sometimes it seems like God is taking a little bit longer than we would like. Sometimes it seems like God takes the slow way. You know, I can imagine Joseph being there in prison and he's praying, perhaps. Lord, please get me out of here. I did nothing wrong. Please deliver me. And then here comes the butler and the baker. And the butler's going to get out. He's going to be right there in Pharaoh's presence. And maybe Joseph is thinking, Lord, thank you. This is the answer to my prayer. This is it, Lord. Then nothing. And sometimes that happens to us too. You know, we're praying and we think, okay, this is it, Lord. This has got to be it. But then nothing. It doesn't happen. But we know from reading the rest of the story that actually the butler would have a part in it. And in chapter 41, Pharaoh's dream, and butler finds out about it, and then the butler remembers, oh yeah, there was that guy in prison. Joseph, he can help you. And then Joseph is taken out of prison. But we see that Joseph has to be a patient prisoner. And I think we see that he was. We don't have any record of his complaining about his impatience. But that conviction about God is what sustained Joseph and what produced in him the ability to be a trustworthy servant, be a caring companion, to be a faithful messenger, and then to be a patient prisoner And I'm sure that would be the hardest thing of all, to be a patient prisoner, to wait and to wait and to wait. There is a book about a missionary called To the Golden Shore, and I read it a long time ago. My wife recently picked it up and started reading it, and I saw that she pointed out to me I had written the date that I finished it, which was when I was in high school, my senior year of high school, sometime in there. But To the Golden Shore is the story of Adoniram Judson, missionary to Burma. And I was reminded about his experience, but he also suffered in prison in Burma. And if you've ever read that, it's a horrible, some of the most horrible things that he experienced in that prison. At the hands of these Burmese torturers. It was awful torture. His ministry at that time was very unfruitful. And there he was in prison, not seeing any result of his ministry, suffering from sickness and fever. But at one point during his imprisonment, he received a letter from a friend which said, "Judson, how's the outlook?" His response was this: "The outlook is as bright as the promises of God." The outlook is as bright as the promises of God. There he was in prison. He's suffering unspeakable torture. And yet he had the conviction that God's promises were still good. God is still with him. "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." That's still true. We see that conviction in the life of Joseph. God was with Joseph. And how does that affect his behavior? It makes him a trustworthy servant. He's diligent in his effort. Officers of the king are entrusted to him. It makes him care about others as he serves them. It makes him a faithful messenger. It makes him patient even while he's a prisoner. And if we can get a hold of that same conviction about God, that'll produce some results in our life too. But if we're uncertain about it, if we're not sure about these promises, if we don't believe them, if we wonder about what God is really doing, we're not going to have that. We're not going to have those results in our life. We're going to have other problems, but we need to be convinced, to be confident that God is with us, that God's promises are still true. And if we can get a hold of that, we can be like Joseph and have these results in our life as well. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage. We thank you for the work that you did through Joseph's life. Help us to remember that often that you make us wait, and we need to be patient. Help us to wait on you and not to become impatient, to complain and to gripe. But help us to be diligent and to care about others that would come across our path and to deliver the message that you have for us faithfully. And we pray that you would most of all give us the conviction that Joseph had about God that allowed him to stand before these officers and ultimately to stand before Pharaoh and to say that God shall give an answer. Give us that conviction, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, let's take our hymn.